This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We'll visit with Republican Daryl Glasper, the former Democratic Metro Councilman turned GOP stalwart. He's here to talk about President Donald John Trump and Governor John Bel Edwards, and he'll be on the other side of Lamar White of the Bayou Brief, the Democratic activist who will be talking about why Governor John Bel Edwards deserves, in his view, a second term, and why President Trump has made a colossal error in actions on the border. We'll talk with them about this and more as we move along this morning. And then it's Capitol Bureau Chief Mark Ballard. As the special legislative session enters its final week, what's going to happen with the fiscal cliff? Yesterday, the House Ways and Means Committee moved some bills out of committee. Does that mean that we're nearing a consensus? We'll talk about it. Now the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing, and our guests to begin are Lamar White of the Bayou Brief and former Metro Councilman Daryl Glasper of Baton Rouge. They are on opposite sides of many issues, Daryl being a Republican, former Democrat, and, of course, Lamar White being a Democrat who has been supportive of our governor, John Bel Edwards, who's up for re-election in less than 16 months. Yesterday, the governor held his monthly radio show, and he expressed optimism that there would be a consensus coming out of the Capitol to avoid the so-called fiscal cliff. Now we're 6 days away from the finish line, and three sales tax measures are heading to the House floor by virtue of moves yesterday by the House Ways and Means Committee. And later in the hour, we'll also talk to Mark Ballard of The Advocate about this as well. But let's begin with Daryl and Lamar. Daryl Glasper, your thoughts about where the legislature is right now and whether there will be a consensus this time or will we have more of the same?
Jim, I really don't know because I'm not kept up with local politics as much as I have on a national level. This is a state that has many problems, and it takes revenue in order to solve those problems. And I think by working together, they're going to be able to solve it. But they have to be coming together. You know, you have one side pulling one way and another side pulling another way, and that's not the way to run a state. That's not the way to run a government. And I think at some point in time, after the many legislative sessions, special sessions that they've had, they're going to probably come to some type of consensus to solve the problem.
The House has continued to quarrel over how much of a temporary 1% sales tax to extend beyond its June 30th expiration date happens, and there are three bills that offer different outcomes. Lamar White, where do you see this going?
Well, I sure hope that one of the three bills gets passed. I think that the one that may have the best chance is the half penny that then phases out over time. It's just incredible that it's taken so long to get to this point. At some point, you have to wonder what the House Republicans are really bargaining for or what their end game has been all along, because it just seems like we're spending a lot of money. We should have gotten this done in the first special session. We shouldn't be here right now.
Do you think politics is motivating some of the reasons why we have not had a consensus to this point?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that there are a majority of people in the House and in the Senate that were willing to negotiate, that had a deal on the table. And a handful of people in the House in particular have essentially held the state hostage for the last few months. And it's unclear exactly what their end game is, except just politics.
Well, Senator Kennedy is giving indications he may be an opponent of Governor Edwards next year. If that happens, how do you see that race evolving, Lamar White?
I don't see it happening, but if it does, I see it being a lot of fun. He's a funny candidate. I don't think he has much of a chance to win. He's run for multiple offices before. My understanding is he has the job that he likes in D.C., and I think he also just kind of likes trolling state politics, but he's made a name for himself up in D.C. I can't imagine him wanting to give up that role.
Well, last week he called for the resignation of Governor Edwards, saying that Edwards was incompetent and should turn the job over to Billy Nungesser, the lieutenant governor. Daryl Glasper, is that a good idea?
Well, let me say something. You know, in the moment of politics where you have emotions running high on both sides in Washington, D.C. and in Louisiana, you know, I look at it like this. There are 16 months to go. We have a governor of the state of Louisiana who is trying to do the best to run the state to the best of his ability. And I think that you should put politics aside in its leadership. I said the same thing about the Democrats in Washington, D.C. You know, you have a president who's going to be president of the United States till 2020. You have to start putting your personal and political agendas aside and run the country as well as the state of Louisiana in both cases and start demonstrating what I call leadership. And when you lead, you know, you let the voters decide what was good or what was bad.
877-217-5757 is your number, wherever you are, in 297-5633 in the Baton Rouge calling area. You can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. For Daryl Glasper on the right, Lamar White on the left. And yesterday, as mentioned, the governor held his monthly radio show, and he announced that three National Guard soldiers and a helicopter will remain on the Texas-Mexico border until mid-July. But the governor says he's confident they are not engaged in any activities related to President Trump's now reversed policy of separating children from their parents after they've crossed the border illegally. Lamar White, what do you make of the governor in his announcement yesterday, breaking with some Democrats around the country, Democratic governors who were pulling their guards, men and women, out of that area?
Well, I think he was in a tough spot because I know that, you know, as a human being, you see the stuff that is happening on the border and you can't help but be appalled and, you know, it's morally offended. At the same time, Texas is our neighbor. We have a longstanding agreement with Texas. And as long as these troops aren't in harm's way, or as long as these troops are not doing anything that they think is morally repugnant, and it sounds like they're not, I understand you strike the right balance.
What about the issue at the border? The president did reverse his position, something, as we know, our president does not like to do, to admit he's wrong. Does that take away the pain that obviously many people felt over the last few days?
It really remains to be seen. I mean, we're learning that most of these children still won't be with their families. Some of them it's going to take days, if not months, to be reunited. There may be even some that don't ever get reunited. So, and then what's the solution? Is it to put, you know, these small children in facilities with their parents and into adult facilities? I think it's a really big mess that he's created.
Daryl, the Associated Press story reads it was a dramatic turnaround for President Trump, who has been insisting wrongly, this is in the story, wrongly, that his administration had no choice but to separate families apprehended at the border because of a federal law and a court decision. Now the president has reversed field and has issued an executive order.
And is going to be overturned by the courts. See, Jim, let me tell you, this whole fiasco has been perpetrated by individuals for political reasons. That's why I was talking about leadership. When you start talking about what Barack Obama did, they separated mothers from their children, fathers from their family. Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, in his policies, separated families. Hillary Clinton, yes, sir.
At the border?
At the border. And the entry.
Now, Hillary was not president.
Hold up. Hillary not president, but listen to me good. She, as Secretary of State, she said, in order to stop large migration to the United States, we will have to follow the policy of separating families. Now, this is a fact. See, let me tell you what upset me more than anything else. Let's just talk about facts now. And see, this is not black and white. This is facts. When 1 million African-American men in this country, United States citizens in this country, were separated from their families with when the habitual offender law came in, they were serving, instead of 10 years, 30 years. And let me say this to you, they were separated from their families. Where was Elijah? Right. Hold up. Where was Elijah Cummings? Where were all these black politicians? Where was all of the marches? Where were all the preachers? Listen to me, my friend. I'm going to tell you something else. You break in anything, the judge going to tell you, you break in anything, and you an African-American or you a United States citizen, you can be black or white, and you go to court, you're going to jail. They're not talking about your family. They're talking about you breaking in. They are breaking into our country and they don't deserve to do it, and they bring their children. Listen to me.
All right. Well, I want Lamar to respond. Lamar, it seems that this president is doing things other presidents did not do, but Daryl Glasper takes exception to that assessment.
Well, I mean, he's just wrong. What Barack Obama did, he did not separate families like this. I think he may be referring to a wave of unaccompanied minors came into the country in 2014. I was actually living in Texas at the time. I remember this very clearly. There was a few thousand unaccompanied minors, mainly from Central America, and it was a crisis at one point. And we had to house these children in large facilities, but they were not with parents. We were not separating children, small children, babies, from their mother's arms. That's just not true. It did not happen.
All right, Doug on Corsi. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I actually had a question about back to the state budget issue, because it's something that a lot of folks in Louisiana, I think, don't understand, and that's being exploited by some people. But to break this down in the simplest way, the task before them has been, for the last several months, they have to replace a half penny sales tax that was temporary that they knew they were going to have to renew, or there would be this gap that's called the fiscal cliff. That's what this is all about, and their failure, or actually the obstruction of a few folks in the House primarily, to make this as difficult as possible is what has led to these multiple special sessions. Some people want to reduce that tax and say they've shrunk government, but they're also saying that if you renew the tax, you're increasing taxes, and the governor, Edwards, is raising taxes, which is just a blatant falsehood.
All right. We'll get a response from Daryl and Lamar when we return. 877-217-5757, your number, back after this brief pause. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Ali Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing, and our guests are Daryl Glasper and Lamar White. Daryl on the right, Lamar on the left. And Lamar, you can read about what he does at the Bayou Brief. And he was listening to Doug on Corsi, as was Daryl and the rest of us. And Doug says that this is a tax cut, not a tax hike. How do you view this? Obviously, this is a tax that has been reduced, but it is going off the books. So you could play this any way you want to politically. And of course, I think that's exactly what's happening. What's your take, Lamar?
Yeah, it's actually, I think it's a tax cut, but it's also a tax renewal. It's just like when a millage comes up for renewal, it's not necessarily a new tax if you're renewing a millage. It's the same tax you've always been paying. In this situation, it was a fifth penny. We're going down to a half a penny, so we have our sales tax will be 4.5%. It's still high. I know this is not the structure that most Democrats would prefer, but it's the only one on the table for Republicans, so that's what we're stuck with. It's also the only one that's going to allow us the ability to raise the revenue we need quickly. So, I think it is disingenuous to call it a tax hike.
Well, first of all, I want to readdress something. Mr. White said I was blatantly wrong. In 2014, kids were in cages sleeping on mats, and their parents wasn't in there with them. So evidently they
were
separated.
Where is this? Where was this happening?
They were unaccompanied minors.
They were unaccompanied minors. Their parents was not in those cages with them. They were sleeping on cots. And in some cases, the parent and the children were separated. Now, that's 2014. Barack Obama was the president of the United States. So, you know, like I always say, you know, one of the things about it,
how many people are we talking about, Daryl?
Well, we're talking about, I think it was says between 3,000 and 7,000. That's a lot of kids.
It's not the same situation, Daryl.
Well,
unaccompanied minors.
Well, I want to say this, Lamar.
So they weren't being separated unaccompanied minors.
Listen to me. Let me tell you what the cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is you're trying to go in somebody else's country.
Here's our president, though, who criticized President Obama for, quote, drawing a line in the sand in Syria and then changing the line. Now,
right.
He drew a line on the border, and now he has backed down. Well, does that show that this president is weak?
No, it shows that he's compassionate. It doesn't show that he's weak. Now listen to me. When you tell the other side that look, I have the authority to do it in executive order, but it's not legal. Okay, you have the authority, Congress. That's your job. He is doing his job. Let me tell you why, Jim, that I kind of took a step back. because I let all of these guys and all these people say all this stuff about the president, and you know what he's doing? He's just like a tank. He's just rolling right the hell over him. You know why? Because he's doing his job every day, and all of these obstructionists that don't like the United States of America, but their ass won't leave. They won't get the hell out of here. You know why? Because this is the best country in the world. And now I'm going to give you one fix. Hold up. In just 3 minutes, I'm going to give you one fix.
Well, but we don't have 3 minutes.
1 minute. I'll give you one fix to fix the immigration problem. If they want to open borders, let them come stay in their houses, in their communities, and let them eat their food, burn their utilities, and lounge around, do a damn thing in their homes, and I guarantee you, cut it out in 10 days.
Lamar, Darrell is echoing a lot of expression on the right, and right up to the end on Fox News, the most prominent communicators on that channel were defending the president. Laura Ingraham called these facilities summer camps. And Corey Lewandowski, so he went womp womp when he was informed that a kid with Down syndrome had been separated from his parent. What do you think about the division in America right now, Lamar, that's ongoing on just about every issue, but even the most personal issues of parents and their kids?
It is sad. It's sad to watch. And, I mean, the reaction from some of these defenders, if you will, this just reflexively delusional. And you wonder where these people's moral compass is. It's difficult not to watch the scenes of those young children being rounded up and not feel compassion for them. And, you know, Ann Coulter claiming that they're child actors. It's just where's their empathy, if they ever had any?
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Darrell and Lamar. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Mr. Glass, should the right-wing Freedom Caucus put its politics aside, show its leadership, and cooperate with moderate Republicans and Democrats in order to hold Trump to his campaign promise that there would be a wall if Mexico, not American taxpayers, paid for it?
All right. Who's going to pay for that wall, Darrell?
Well, I don't know who's going to pay for a wall.
Well, the president said Mexico was going to pay for it.
Listen to me. I don't know who's going to pay for that wall, but you're going to have a wall. And let me tell you something else. All of these guys who criticize the president, they love being in an abusive relationship. That's what my grandmother said a long time ago. Look, this man has put this country first. Across the spectrum, he's pissed off a lot of people. He's going to continue to piss off a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you what. I've said here on your show, and I've been batting 99%, and you know I'm telling you the truth. You know why? Because most of America not listening to all this foolishness. You know what America's listening at? They're looking at their paychecks. They're looking at their job opportunities. They're looking at their safety. They're looking at getting MS-13 out of their damn country. They're getting the drugs. Look, all of a sudden now, when you start putting up a border, you have less drugs in your country.
All right. Well, we've had 17 months and a day now of the presidency of Donald John Trump. Lamar White, do you feel safer and more prosperous with this president in office?
No, I don't. I mean, I think that the man's been an utter disaster. And you know, every day that goes by, there's another embarrassing story or another embarrassing tweet. I don't think that he's led by example. I think that we've lost standing in the world. We've angered our closest allies. And I think that a lot of Americans feel the same way as I do. I think that's why his approval ratings have never been up above 50%.
I wonder if Lamar had know of another country he want to go to.
I don't want to go anywhere, Darrell.
Well, okay,
thank you.
People were saying the same thing when Obama was president. You just don't leave the country if you don't like the president.
Hold on just a second. That's the point. The point is Hillary Clinton said, and see,
Hillary.
Well, yes, because Hillary said accept the results of the election. Well, damn it, accept the results of the election. Listen to me. We live in a democracy. Look,
I don't think anybody's saying Trump shouldn't be president.
Well, no, they're not saying he should be president, but they've been putting up walls and barriers and criticizing. Let me say this to you. They're going to keep criticizing him. You know why? Because they don't have a plan. They don't have a plan.
877-217-5757. If you'd like to talk to Darrell Glasper on the right, Lamar White on the left, David in Atlanta. Hello, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. To follow up on your last comment, Jim, I'd like to point out the Dow Jones Industrial Average is negative for the year. Inflation is running at a six-year high, and Ronald Reagan said inflation is the cruelest tax of all. Mr. Glasper, if the outcome of this immigration crisis is the president signing an immigration bill that limits the amount of legal immigration of people coming into this country, wouldn't that verify that Trump, having said, why do we have to have people from S-hole countries like Africa coming here? Wouldn't that...
All right, go ahead.
Look, let me tell you, wherever you live, they're on the border. You can just get you, order you about 15,000 over to your neighborhood and let them come over here. Listen to me.
All right, well, David, did you finish?
I just want to point out it was Trump that said there were good people on both sides in Charlottesville, Virginia, some of which were carrying tiki torches, saying the Jews were not overcomers or outnumber us. Now, I think that the president has a racist heart, and this whole crisis is nothing more than a rouge to limit future immigration, and I mean legal immigration, of people of dark color coming into this country.
I want to say this to you. You're not. I'm African-American, and I'm of dark color, and you don't play them political games with me, brother. I'm going to tell you right now. Let me tell you what's appalling to me is that people just here in Louisiana are drinking bad water. Individuals, both white and black, United States citizens, are sleeping under the damn bridges. So my thing is this. If the president of the United States putting us first in this country, and each one of those children and parents, $35,000 a month to house, to feed, and to protect them, and they just broke into the country. Now, let me tell you what happened. But when a United States citizen go to court and he's done something wrong in this country, they go to jail. Don't talk about, you can't tell me nothing about being an African-American, about dark skin or dark color. It doesn't bother me. You know why? I don't play them games.
All right, Daryl Glasper, former Metro Councilman here in Baton Rouge, now a ranking Republican, recently was a keynoter at the Trump International Hotel at an event hosted by Steve Bannon. And Lamar White of the Bayou Brief, formerly of sinlaw.com. We'll talk with both of them when we return after the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on WRKF. 877-217-5757 is your number. Lamar White and Daryl Glasper are with us. We go to Jimmy in Irwinville. Hi, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, there has been a few thousand kids separated from their parents, but their parents will be united with them. But we endured hundreds of years in slavery, being ripped from our family and soul, but we don't hear nobody talking about that. It was in the past, but it's still relevant. So I want to hear some people start talking about that and some reparations for that.
All right. Well, there is a story, a front page in the New York Times, kind of related to this. It says deaths outnumber births among white people in more than half the states in the country. And by 2045, and probably it says sooner than that, the Census Bureau is relatively sure that whites will be a minority in the United States of America. Lamar, is that what some of this is about, that we don't want too many brown people, or some people don't want too many brown people entering the country because whites will lose clout politically and will be a minority in this country very soon?
Absolutely. That's what this is about. A lot of these people that are at the top levels of the White House, we know, are, on the far right, radical right people. People like Steve Bannon of Breitbart helped get this man in the Oval Office. Stephen Miller, the guy who's behind this policy, has said some really vile things that make you think that he's a little, maybe a little bit racist. So, I think that behind all this, there are racist undertones behind it for sure.
Gustavo and Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning. You're on with Daryl and Lamar. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. Well, this is to say...
All right, Gustavo, hold on. We're trying to get you to a better place so we can get a better connection and understand what you're trying to convey to Daryl and to Lamar. Allie, do we have him? All right, while we're waiting for Gustavo, let's go to Evelyn in New Orleans. Evelyn, good morning. You're on with Daryl and Lamar. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine.
I'm calling from New Orleans. I heard someone say something about the parents should be told that they're not supposed to bring their children into the United States. But let's suppose that there's a hurricane in New Orleans, and we're trying to get out because we know what flood damage will do. we got over the Mississippi River Bridge, and a group of people from Algiers and places over the Mississippi Bridge, including policemen, turned us back.
Ma'am, let me just tell you something. This old guy that's sitting behind his microphone right now was one of the ones that heard about it. And let me tell you where you stop. The mayor in East Baton Rouge Parish, who was African-American at the time, and I know what I'm talking about, he would not let the buses from New Orleans stop in Baton Rouge. They went across the river. And Mike Cass, I got a call, got in my car, and went over there. Mike Cass took individuals with wet clothes, fed them, put them in dry clothes, and let them go ahead on their way to Houston. And that is a fact. And see, that's the point.
Well, Baton Rouge. We had the River Center, Assembly Center, all those places.
You had all of that. But let me say this to you. When you tell individuals the buses cannot stop any longer here in Baton Rouge, that we had enough. What's going on our borders today? Young lady, you just proved the point. The United States of America cannot take 11 million illegal individuals in this country, and we still survive a race of people.
But the president has basically admitted he was wrong by reversing his order. And Lamar White, that is significant because this is a man who almost never says he's wrong.
Yeah, and he didn't even need the executive order, really. He could have just picked up the phone and called the policy off because it was that simple. In fact, I think the executive order may have complicated things even worse, but that remains to be seen. By the way, I thought the caller from New Orleans, the metaphor is well put. A lot of these people are fleeing disaster, are fleeing gangs, are fleeing situations that, they can't escape it, or they need a safe place like the United States. So it's a good metaphor. We didn't turn our backs on our neighbors.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Evelyn. Let's try Gustavo again. Gustavo in Goodwood, you're on with Daryl and Lamar. Hi, Gustavo.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for taking my call. One of the most senseless comments that I have heard today is the fact that they're saying that white supremacists, the people that are all the way to the top in this administration, older white individuals are preventing the entrance for brown or even black people. That is the most ridiculous comment that I have heard. The minorities are, in fact, minorities because they're a very, very low percentage of the population in general. Quite frankly, African Americans, I don't believe they break 20% of the population.
No, but collectively, though, whites will be a minority. By 2045, the Census Bureau, and it says likely it'll happen sooner than that, whites will be a minority in this country when we add up Asians and African Americans and Hispanics.
16% plus 20% equals 36%. Okay, and by 2045, well, I will be dead. I just hope that my kids or my grandkids are okay in the country that we're going to leave behind. But the problem is that the discrepancy in the way Mr. Trump is treated and the way past presidents, I'm not going to name any names, have been treated, especially Democrats. Democrats have been given a pass in so many different ways, it's ridiculous.
All right. Well, your response, Lamar. Have Democratic presidents been given a pass?
Yes. I can recall 8 years of criticism against President Obama for all sorts of stuff. People saying he wasn't even born in this country, that he lied about his birth certificate. I would just say to the caller, do yourself a favor and look up on Google Stephen Miller and Google Steve Bannon and look at some of the stuff that they've endorsed and some of the stuff that Bannon published on Breitbart and maybe reflect on whether or not you think that there's any racism there.
Now, if Barack Obama, Daryl, had an affair with a porn star, would he be in office? Would the Republicans allow that?
I'm going to go back and say again, whoever want to go behind closed doors, whoever they want to go, that's their damn business. Listen to me. Let me tell you what I care about. I care about my business. You know what my business is? A strong defense, okay? An economy that is not strapped down with all these regulations. Let me tell you what the problem is. The problem with America is that we want to take care of everybody else's business when it comes to their personal business. And then we, you know what? And they let their public business go to hell in a handbasket.
All right. You have concurrence with many. Gene Mills was on this show a few days ago and said this amounted to a youthful indiscretion for President Trump, who was 60 years old at the time, by the way. Lamar, was it a youthful indiscretion?
That's hilarious. I didn't hear that. It's amazing what the extent to which people are willing to excuse this guy's repugnant moral behavior and his philandering. And I mean, it's the evangelical right, people like Gene Mills are, you know, doing acrobatics to try to figure out a way to absolve this guy.
Listen to me, because he had most of the conversation. Now I'm going to get in here. Look, I want to say this to you. First of all, there's not one perfect person on the face of this earth. We elected a man who was going to lead this country, and whatever he's been doing behind closed doors, because all of them have been doing it. And you don't know what's going on in Washington, D.C. You don't know what's going on even in Louisiana with individuals. That's their business. That's their personal business. Do what you want to do. But when you
involved $130,000.
Well, that's okay. That was his $135,000. He didn't call you to get $135,000. He spent his own money.
All right. Steve Wenham, the former budget director in St. Francisville, says to you, Darrell, says, even if everything else you say is true, how can you possibly support a president who's been proved to lie continuously and who curries favor with heads of countries that are known enemies and actively alienates our allies? How can either of these help us nationally or internationally, writes Mr. Wenham.
Well, let me say something. You know, when you start talking about this president wants peace around the world. And sometimes you have to sit with people who can destroy. This guy's got a nuclear bomb. He's shooting nuclear bombs over. I understand what he's saying, but when Barack Obama went down and danced down in Cuba, you understand, and started having a relationship with Cuba, when he sent all of that cash to Iran, you see, these guys don't understand. They have selective memory, like my grandmother used to say. When you do something wrong, you have selective memory. See, they have selective memory. If you look at the totality of what Donald Trump is trying to do for America, listen to me, you don't have to like everything, but you have to understand he's putting you first. Stop being in an abusive relationship, Democrats. And hold up. And let me tell you what's happening. You know what this whole fight's over? And I put it to rest. This whole fight is over. The Democrats are losing the black population because they're tired of their foolishness. And they're tired of their neglect.
In Louisiana, there are like 750,000 black Democrats and 22,000 black Republicans.
Watch this. When I sit here and tell you that Donald Trump was going to win the Monday before the election, you all thought I was crazy. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I told you some time ago that this man was going to get 30% of the black vote in 2020. Mark it down right now. Darrell Glasper said he's going to get
30%. Andy in Goodwood. Andy, you're on the air with Darrell and Lamar. Hi, Andy.
Hey, good morning. First, my personal opinion. We've never had a more unethical, ignorant, brutish pig.
All right. Brutish pig as president. Let's see. Andy, are you there?
Donald Trump's entire business premise is there's a sucker born every minute, and he's proving that correct. Thank you.
All right. Daryl's laughing.
Hey, Jim, do you have any psychiatrists or doctors that can come on this show and talk to some of these people? No, seriously.
Well, we've had some psychiatrists who say the president needs some assistance.
He did. Well, I tell you what, I can tell you this thing. I like
okay.
to know what's going on.
Well, hold tight. We'll spend a few more minutes with Darrell Glasper and Lamar White after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Darrell Glasper and Lamar White, and then we'll get the take at the Capitol from Mark Ballard with the special session now in its final week. Steve in Livonia. Hi, Steve. You're on with Darrell and Lamar. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Steve.
Yes.
Why do you keep bringing Darrell Glasper up on your show when he always say dumb stuff? He said dumb stuff as a councilman. I don't know if you remember. Somebody taking the fine calls at the casino and stuff.
All right. Well, Donald Trump got 58% of the votes in Louisiana, and I think Darrell reflects the majority of the people. I would suspect that if Let me ask Lamar this. Lamar, if President Trump were on the ballot today in Louisiana, I think he would win this state again. I can't imagine him not carrying Louisiana, and no Republican is going to criticize him in Louisiana, and the governor doesn't criticize him either because they know that Donald Trump, despite all his flaws and all the controversies, is still very popular in Louisiana. Okay, I don't know if we still have Lamar, but let's try Mina and Melrose, and we've got to Mark. Mina, I want to get you in before we part company. Mina, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Yes, I just have a comment or a question for Mr. Darrell. If that ever occurs to him that he's been used by this administration to divide this country more than what it is?
No.
I mean, they were...
No, ma'am.
You should think about it a little bit. Just pause and think about how you've been used as an African American to get more division, to create more division in this country.
Let me tell you what I do know. First of all, I'm going to address the first comment. You know, when they say I said dumb things, well, you know, dumb things, like my grandmother said, is not dumb to all people. And it's certainly not dumb to me because, hell, I've been 99% right. So it couldn't be stupid. I want to say this to you. Anytime you try to help and protect an African-American, like my grandmother say, you can't help everybody. Now, when gambling came to Baton Rouge, they made all of those promises, Jim. Our schools are bad. Okay. Our communities are bad. And I'm going to say this to you. The Trump administration, like you as an American, I don't care if you're white, black, green, or purple, rich or poor, it's for the United States first and everybody else second. If they don't like that, look, man, you can get on the plane and leave and go anywhere you want to.
All right, Lamar, your thoughts.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I missed the last caller, but you were asking me if I think Donald Trump will win Louisiana again, and I think obviously the answer is yes. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of work to do as Democrats, but I think that that Governor Edwards is in a good shot to win re-election, and you know, the congressional midterms, we could see some surprises. I think Clay Higgins is vulnerable. So there could be some flips. Not all hope is lost for Democratic candidates.
Well, thank you, Lamar White. Always good to talk with you. And thank you, Darrell Glasper.
Thank you, sir.
See you soon. And we're joined now by Mark Ballard at the Capitol as lawmakers continue to weigh the merits of passing at least part of the part of the tax that's going to expire on June 30th. And Mark, I think there is a consensus to get rid of at least half of it, but then there comes a dispute about what happens if we don't get half. Do we get a third? Do we get four-tenths? What is going on at the Capitol right now?
Well, I spoke to the Speaker, you know, a half hour ago, and he says that the authors of the three different bills that are the three different ideas are still working, trying to figure out which one of them is going to get 70 votes. And on the table, you have retaining a third of the penny of sales tax that's going to expire next week, and then you have another one that is four-tenths of a, it's like four-fifths of a penny, if you will. And then we have another one that's a half a penny. Okay, so that's what you're looking at, is the 3%, 4%, and 5% of the of retention in the penny. Now, the budget that has been passed is keyed towards the half cent, meaning that if they pass anything below the half cent, then they're going to be cut.
Yeah, Governor Edwards on his show yesterday indicated that if it's at four-tenths, then there will be $82 million in cuts. That won't cut it. So that's the Paula Davis bill, and that one appears to have some momentum. But is this gumming up the works, the fact that there, at this point there are three choices with 6 days to go?
Well, we'll find out today. I mean, the House opens business at 10:30 today, and they're going to be voting on one of those bills. And how close to 10:30 it opens up will give you an indication of how close they are to coming to some sort of an agreement on one of those bills, because I don't think they will take a vote unless they're pretty sure there's 70 votes to back it for one of those three plans.
And if this does not succeed by June 27th, that means there will be 3 days left in the year before the new fiscal year begins. It would seem at that point that cuts would be inevitable.
I think the governor and his people have been pretty clear about that, that he said there's not going to be any more sessions if they don't pass any kind of revenue enhancements between now and the 27th, then the budget that is in place now would make some pretty draconian cuts. We're looking at about TOPS being cut by about 30%. You're looking at about 20 to 25% cuts across the board of the various agencies. That means less money for higher education. That means less money for the prisons. It's going to be a pretty deep cut if they don't pass any taxes in the next week.
We're visiting with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, who has a story on page 3A today. The headline, Latest Constitutional Convention Bid Fails. What happened there?
Well, as you've all been aware, is that there's an argument that says that so much of our money is kind of tied up, or the money that the state has available to actually go into the budget, which is about $10 billion. But most of that money is tied up with what is called dedicated funds. And that goes for funding the public school system, for instance. It says, you know, you must fund the public school system this much money. And that's why we get to the these budgets, and there's only a couple of $3 billion left. And they want to open up go into the Constitution and open up those dedicated funds so that there's a little more flexibility among the legislators. It has not been a popular idea. It's popular among some segments. The business community really backs it. But a lot of the legislators do not, and they've been trying for several years now to open up the Constitution, to have this constitutional convention. They came up with a very modest bill yesterday, resolutions, and both of them were shot down. And there will be there won't be a constitutional convention or a study of the need for a constitutional convention or anything like that, at least for another year.
Front page story in today's Advocate, Louisiana passes off the prison capital title. We have been surpassed now by another state which has a higher per capita number of its citizens in jail than we do in Louisiana.
And that would be Oklahoma. The biggest secret that the governor let out by accident on your show yesterday, Jim. They were trying to hold off for a couple of weeks to see if they could, you know, do a big thing. It was one of the campaign promises that he made, was to try to get Louisiana out of the top spot. And with the Criminal Justice Reinvestment Act, they've been able to do so. And now Oklahoma has the highest percentage of its population behind bars.
And the governor, as we noted earlier, says the Louisiana National Guard will stay on the border south of us. He is keeping in line, I'm sure, with many constituents in Louisiana who are supportive of the president. But at the same time, some Democratic governors had pulled their guard troops from the border.
Not just Democratic governors. There were Republican governors as well. Republican governor of Massachusetts, for instance, the Republican governor of Maryland had both pulled their National Guard troops. I think that part of it is, one, I think you're right, that he recognizes the politics of Louisiana, which is okay with it. The other part, I think, is that kind of military background of, you know, we may not do popular jobs, but when we're ordered to do it, we do it. And I think that also played a role into it, though he didn't share any of that thinking with me.
The governor yesterday on his show fielded a few calls, more than a few, about Bayou Bridge, and it's interesting that on this issue he's being hit from the left side of the political spectrum and comes across as the conservative business proponent. Some people might even think this would help him politically, but it is interesting that this governor on many issues is being hit from one side or the other, and it's not always the same side.
Well, yeah, I think the idea that this that Governor Edwards is some sort of wild-eyed liberal is just hopeful. I mean, that's what Senator Kennedy is hoping for. That's what Jeff Landry is hoping for. Because the truth is that he is very conservative, even though he is a Democrat on many, many issues. Abortion being one, gun rights being another, that pipeline across the Atchafalaya being a third.
Well, Mark Ballard, it is always a pleasure. We'll be calling on you next week. And what do you think? Is there going to be an agreement?
Well, we will know by the end of the day. I've become a glasses half empty sort of fella, so I'm preparing.
Well, thanks as always. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for the
Advocate.
Tomorrow, we'll hear from Commissioner of Agriculture Mike Strain, among others, and Tyler Bridges. Stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.